So today we are kicking off a new series. As you can see on the screen, we're calling Anxious for Nothing, where we're going to be looking at how to deal with anxiety and worry. And now I know some of you might be wondering, why are we going to do an entire series talking about such a topic? But the answer is because every single person in here either struggles with anxiety, will struggle with anxiety, or loves somebody who does. Raise your hand if you know somebody, and it could be yourself, it could be somebody else, you know somebody where anxiety is a big part of their life. Yeah, that's almost every hand here. I'm going to raise two. I think I saw a two-hander. I wasn't the only person there. I've got a big family full of worriers. I've been a pastor in churches. I've worked with youth. I know literally dozens of people who struggle with anxiety every single day. They struggle to go to school. They struggle to go to work. They miss major family events because they don't want to be around crowds. There's all sorts of things that this anxiety does to a person that diminishes the joy and the goodness of life that God has prepared for us. And so maybe you've noticed, but our culture has shifted. Like, anxiety has become a much bigger thing in America today than it was 5, 10, or 20 years ago. We truly are in a crisis situation where anxiety is impacting every corner of society, especially those of the younger generations and women. Currently, half of adolescents, half, one in two of teenagers between 13 and 18 years old are struggling with anxiety or depression in 2023. If you went out and you polled all the teenagers in America last year, half of them would say that anxiety or depression is a major part of their life holding them back. With 3 in 5 teenage girls saying, yes, for at least 2 weeks straight, I felt major darkness or hopelessness in my life. 3 in 5 with young ladies, 2 in 5 with young men. 1 in 3 adults suffered with anxiety or depression in 2023. 1 in 3 adults. That's a 50% increase from the statistics of 2017. So after all the COVID years, we went from it was 20%, now it's like 33% of adults in any given year are struggling with anxiety. 6 million Americans had a panic attack last year. 15 million Americans struggle with social anxiety, most going at over 10 years before they ever seek any kind of help, and instead just stay away from crowds at all costs. Most surprising to me is that these skyrocketing rates of anxiety are primarily an American phenomenon. Yes, we're number one, by far and large, ahead of all the other nations in the world. And when we have immigrants who come to America, they come from countries where anxiety isn't even close to what it is in our culture. But after they've been here for a few years, immigrants have the same level of anxiety as people who have lived here their entire lives. There's something about our culture that's unique. And while it's not the purpose of our message today to dive into the why this is happening here in America today, our job instead is to simply say, okay, it is happening. We all see it all around us. So what can we learn about this from God's word in how to help people hopefully overcome this debilitating worry and anxiousness that's constantly churning in their minds? For those of you who have had bouts of darkness with worry and anxious thoughts that have trapped you in hopelessness, I hope that this series helps unlock God's strategy for how you can deal with this and these worries that fill your mind and instead replace them with the peace that surpasses all understanding. For those of you who have never struggled with anxiety personally, and I'm in that boat, it might be hard to relate to those who are hurting so deeply. And to help you understand how so many people around you feel about this, I want to read an explanation of what anxiety feels like found in Max Lucado's book called Anxious for Nothing. obviously. I stole his title. And it's one of two books that I'm borrowing heavily as I put together this series. The other is written by Sean Johnson, Attacking Anxiety. He's a mega pastor at a church in Colorado. And he has wrestled with his own debilitating anxiety. He tells his story, and it was intense. But he's come out on the other side. So I'm using these two books heavily as I bring this material together. But here's how Max Lucado describes what it's like if you're a person struggling with anxiety. It's a low-grade fear, an edginess, a dread, a cold wind that won't stop howling. It's not so much a storm as the certainty that one is coming, always coming. Sunny days are just an interlude. You can't relax, can't let your guard down. All peace is temporary, short term. Anxiety is trepidation. It's a suspicion, an apprehension. Life in a minor key with major concerns. Perpetually on the pirate ship's plank. You're part Chicken Little and part Eeyore. The sky is falling, and it's falling disproportionately on you. As a result, you are anxious. A free-floating sense of dread hovers over you. A call across the heart, a nebulous hunch about things that might happen sometime in the future. When I read that to somebody who's been dealing with anxiety for many years, they simply said, exactly. That's exactly how I feel. And additionally, anxiety doesn't just stop with a person's mind and how they think about things, how they have this constant state of what-ifs running through their mind, but it works itself out through their body. They end up with locked jaws, sore necks, twitching eyes, headaches, high blood pressure. Those are just a few of the ailments who people who live in this constant state of anxiousness. It just adds for them that something's wrong with me and I'm not right. And when I take the time personally to let all these feelings and thoughts that I've just read to you soak in, it helps me to better understand the challenges these people are feeling, and it makes me feel terrible. To try to put myself in their place and think this is what it's like when your mind is constantly unable to rest, when your body is constantly feeling the effects of being constantly on, constantly worried, constantly thinking about what's the next shoe to drop. I understand how in that situation, it feels like there's no peace, there's no calm, there's no hope. And that's why we're jumping into this series today, to hopefully help some of you who struggle with anxiety find tools to deal with it and become victorious over it. And for the rest of you who love people who are struggling with anxiety, to give you some tools to help support the people that you care about so much so that they can find hope in Jesus to get through this. When talking about worry, anxiety, depression, and all sorts of mental health issues, there's one biblical passage that clearly speaks to them all better than any other. It's actually the most highlighted verse in the Bible app. So there's the Bible app that's the number one app in the Apple store. Their store. I'm Android. Or in the Google store. Like, they can say which verses or which sentences are highlighted more in these books. It's the number one highlighted verses in the Bible. Also, if you go over to Amazon Kindle, they would say this is the most highlighted verse in the entire Bible, and it is found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. In fact, as part of this series, I encourage all of you to try to memorize this passage. We don't memorize often. Once you get past about 20 years old, I think we all recognize memory gets a lot harder, and so we just give up. But I've made cards with this passage. You might have seen them. They're on the information center desk under the TV when you walk in. There's other cards that are right next to the offering plate. I encourage you, grab one on your way out. Maybe you're not willing to memorize it. Read it frequently. Put it in your Bible. Put it by your bathroom mirror. Just read these words over and over, and the specific phrasing in it. There will be phrases that God will use to jump off that little card at you. And that's the Holy Spirit saying, this is what I want you to focus on today. So I encourage you to grab one of those cards. Additionally, I did buy some little devotionals. I think they're 10-day devotionals called Putting an X Through Anxiety. I also have those little booklets underneath the TV. If you're thinking, yes, this is what I need, or you know somebody, grab one of those little devotional booklets underneath the TV on your way out this morning. Now, before I read this passage, which many of you will hear it and you'll say, yeah, that sounds very familiar, we have to first understand the context of this letter. So this is a passage that talks about having the peace of God, and it's written by the Apostle Paul while he was in chains, jailed. Not only is he jailed, but he feels like he is imminently facing death as the result of spreading the gospel message all over what's now Europe and the Middle East there. And so you would think in this situation that Paul, more than anybody else, would have reason to fret, worry, feel anxious, and be in utter despair and depression. That he would be filled with what ifs running through his mind. But that's not at all his attitude. Instead, if we were to summarize the book of Philippians with one single word, it would be the word rejoice. And for that reason, I think that he's the most qualified person to instruct us all on how to face the challenges of life and yet maintain a mindset of peace and joy. So, with no further ado, let's hop in. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. I have to pause there. The New King James says, be anxious for nothing. That's a much better sermon title, anxious for nothing, than do not be anxious for anything. Too many words. So that's why we stole that title. It's from the New King James translation here. So do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, the King James says, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So we're going to walk through this passage over the next couple weeks, looking at what Paul tells us to do in that passage. There's a lot of imperatives and directives that he tells us, do this and do that. But in the middle of this passage, there's also three promises that are made to us right in the middle of it all. And that's what we are going to look at today, these three promises that we need to hold on tightly as we walk out of here. The first is that the Lord is near. I love the simplicity of that sentence. Just in the middle, he drops this little glimmer of hope. The Lord is near. I understand in the middle of a mental health crisis, or even with the lingering worries of life, God can seem so far away. He can seem so distant, like you have all these worries, you have all these concerns, you have all these things that you're like, this could go wrong or this could go wrong or what's happening here, and you feel like God has just left you to your own capabilities to figure it all out, and you feel overwhelmed, and you worry that he's not going to do anything to help you through it. But that could not be further from the truth. How you feel and where God is are not related. You can feel like he's a million miles away, but he's saying he is near. Jesus stands by your side. The Spirit of God literally dwells inside of you if you are a follower of Jesus, empowering you to face the troubles of your life. He knows intimately the worries that are running through your mind. And he wants to help. You are not alone in your struggle. The God of the universe stands right by your side, and he wants to help you move through these worries and offer his peace to you. That brings us to the next promise. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I want to focus on that word guard. God's peace, the peace that transcends or surpasses all understanding, acts like a guard to protect your heart and your mind. It's like a shield that goes in front of you, that as the enemy's trying to launch these fiery darts of lies, of accusations, of worries, of one more thing to think about that could go wrong, maybe, what if? The peace of God is meant to be this guard to protect you and shield you from those things so that they never get into your head and into your heart. The third promise, the God of peace will be with you. The prophet Isaiah wrote about the coming Savior way back before Jesus showed up on the scene. And he said that this coming Messiah would be known as the Prince of Peace. He was going to bring shalom to the earth. This concept of shalom to the Jews was the complete opposite of the chaos that we see happen to the world after the fall. In Genesis 3, sin comes into the world and it's filled with chaos. The coming Messiah comes to bring shalom, to bring peace, to bring order. That's why Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And so when we read through this passage, as Paul writes it, the God of peace will be with you. The one who wants to bring peace and order and calm to the storms of life. And he has a plan to one day ultimately do that as he judges all things. And in the meantime, as his kingdom is breaking forth into this world, he wants to offer that same peace to each and every one of us. His plans and purposes are not for you to wrestle with all these anxious thoughts, to feel trapped in your house because you don't want to go out. That's bondage. That's slavery. God wants so much more than that for you. Perhaps you felt like anxious, or perhaps you felt anxious and isolated for so long now that that's all you can relate to. Maybe the verse that Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, where he says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free." Perhaps that verse feels completely unattainable. You think, freedom? I don't experience freedom. I experience fear, worry, doubt, hopelessness, darkness. Maybe you've given up on feeling freedom because instead, it's replaced with this constant state of doom and dread. But that's not why God made you. And it's not his plan for you. God wants good for you. He created you to experience so much more and so much better than the mental torment and bondage that you're experiencing. Here's a brief list of the ways that God wants you to experience freedom and ways that things he has graciously given to you. The first is peace. John 14, 27, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he's very clear. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. The Prince of Peace is saying, I give you my peace. That's a gift he wants every single one of us to be experiencing today. As it's already been the main point, Jesus here is so direct in that this is part of his mission to bring peace to the chaos in both this world and in your life. Second gift God graciously wants each one of us to receive is his joy. Romans 15, 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy." Anxiety steals joy. It sucks all the joy out of your life. God promises the opposite. God wants to fill your heart with a deep and abundant joy and satisfaction. regardless of the challenges and circumstances you face. God wants your heart to be one that is constantly filled with just a contentment because you understand who you are in your relationship with Him and that He's going to take care of you. Purpose. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." A huge worry so many people wrestle with is, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? And so they feel like their own life is meaningless. And it just adds to this guilt and worry and thoughts of, and restlessness and unease and wandering. And God is saying, look, I've given you a purpose. Before I ever made you, I created these good works for you to do, to be my child and to be a blessing to others around you. You have a purpose given to you by God. Receive it. Next, confidence. Proverbs 3, verse 26, "For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." Being caught up in dread and fear leaves you doubtful of your place in the world and social structures. But God reminds us that your confidence is not in yourself. It's not, I know that I'm smart enough, I'm good enough, and gosh golly, people like me. Like, you don't need to be saying that in front of a mirror. SNL skit, some of you got that? I got it wrong. I'm sorry. But our confidence comes from our relationship with God. Like, that's why we sang these songs we sang today. I'm a child of God. He's a good, good Father. We've got to have this perspective that we have our feet solely grounded in. Because then it doesn't matter how you feel about yourself. Your confidence is in whose you are. You're a child of the Father. And He's going to keep your foot from being caught. He's also going to give you the gift of protection from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. "But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." So many people wrestle with feeling vulnerable and worry about their safety, either physical or emotional, right now. Safety is a huge thing in our culture, and most people don't feel safe. School shootings, bullying, all the garbage that goes on social media, all the terrible news every time you flip on the news on the TV or on your phone, leaves you feeling completely exposed. Who's going to protect you? God promises He will. He will watch over you. He will protect you. He is faithful. And sometimes in a world where we feel so entirely exposed and vulnerable, to just let go of that and say, God, I trust You to protect me and watch over me. And let go of that worry is all you can do. It's a gift He wants to offer you. Finally, victory. Romans 8:37 tells us, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." So the result of God's nearness and His being for us, we're told that we will be more than conquerors. We will be victorious. The bondage of self-doubt, isolation, fear, wandering around, not knowing what to do, not knowing how to move forward, just feeling frozen, will be overcome by the God who loves you too much to leave you in that state. It's not going to be like that forever. We're going to talk more about that next week. But here's the one final lesson I have to include, which I actually recently taught the youth as we're marching through the Old Testament on Wednesday nights. But in the Old Testament, God takes the Israelites out of Egypt. He frees them from their slavery of Egypt, and He says, "I'm taking you to the promised land, this land flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be incredible, and I'm giving it to you as a gift." And I'm sure that the Israelites were thinking, this is awesome. We're just going to walk right in and we're going to have cities, given to us. And it's going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be easy and lovely, and God's going to do everything. But then when you read the book of Joshua, you find out they had battles to fight. They didn't. The enemy didn't just walk in and say, "Oh, sure, have this city. We'll take off. Enjoy my house." The Israelites had to fight to receive the land that God had promised to them. That's an important lesson for us to understand. Breaking free from anxiety will include fighting battles with God at your side. Likely you're not simply going to sit here today, pray with me at the end of this sermon, and go, "It's gone. The anxiety's gone. I'm set free." It's possible. God can heal us like that. But what's much more likely is that as you take this journey to say, "You know what? I've dealt with my anxiety long enough. I want to break free from this. I want to lean into God and have Him release this from me." It means you're going to walk through some tough stuff. You're going to have some battles, but you're going to do it with God right at your side. The Lord is near. Here's what I want every one of you walking away from here today chewing on. God wants everyone to experience peace and calm as we rest in the assurance of His presence and His perfect peace. He wants you to truly be anxious for nothing as you put your focus and trust in Him. And I know for some of you that seems trite and so far away from what you're experiencing today. But I encourage you, come back in future weeks as we continue to peel back these instructions that Paul gives us in Philippians chapter 4. And in the meantime, when you're feeling overwhelmed and anxious and wrapped up in the what ifs, remind yourself over and over. You've already got four words memorized from our memory verse. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. You're not alone. Just say that to yourself and recognize the God who created heavens and earth and can move mountains is at your side, and He wants better for you. God wants your good. And if you're willing to fight this battle against anxiety, He promises to fight with you and bring you through it to the other side, experiencing the perfect peace which surpasses all understanding. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray?